The Citadel Cafe is proudly sponsored by TweakedAudio.com. For high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds, visit TweakedAudio.com and use our code TCC at checkout for free shipping and 30% off your entire order. That's TweakedAudio.com.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 129 for Wednesday, December 17th, 2014. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I get together to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. We cover everything from movies and television to books, apps, and websites. Joining me tonight, Mr. Lou Page has stopped by. Hello.
Hello.
You are the first guest on what I hope will be many of our holiday episode.
Christmas. Yay. Holidays.
Dead silence.
I should say, if I sound a little hoarse, I have had a chest cold.
Oh.
And I've been trying to do as much of my Christmas shopping from the internet and my sick bed as I possibly can. Man. And I rush ordered a bunch of stuff and it all came today. So I had to answer the door as sick as a dog.
That sucks. Well, I appreciate you popping by, man, if you're feeling under the weather.
Not a problem. Not a problem. I can do this from my couch. I'm good.
Yeah. That's one thing I like about podcasting, too. It's funny, like, we're supposed to get some really nasty weather here in the city. My dad was over earlier, and he asked me what I was up to, and explaining about some Christmas commissions that I'm trying to finish up, and that I had to do this episode of the Citadel Cafe tonight for the holiday episode. And he was like, well, you know, if you go out, make sure that you're dressed for bad weather, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm looking at him like, no. Dad, the Citadel Cafe is my podcast. I don't have to leave the studio. Like, I can just do it right from home. He must have just misheard me and thought I just had cafe. Right. So he thought I was going out somewhere. So, you know, and this time of year, there are, you know, holiday get-togethers quite regularly. So, yeah, I love the fact that I can just do this kind of stuff and get together with some friends and have like our own little internet kind of get-together.
It's very nice.
Yeah, I was late organizing this year, so I don't know if we're going to have as many people pop by as last year. Last year we had at least a half dozen, I think. I know that I had two people scheduled on the show, and then I had other people that were chiming in from time to time. But I will just keep a lookout on my Skype handle. If you're listening to this live on Alpha Geek Radio, my Skype handle is Joel E. Duggan. Send me a DM on Skype, and if you want to say hi, I will bring you into the call. So what I wanted to ask you, Lou, now that we know that you're hopefully going to have enough time to get over your chest cold before the holidays.
It's wrapping up. I think I'll be better by the weekend.
Yeah, so you're dealing with what I was dealing with probably like 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it is going around. My my day job, where in the office I work at, my boss and one of my coworkers have both had it too. So when I called out, they're like, oh yeah, no. I know exactly what you got. Stay home.
Yeah, stay home. Yeah. Yeah. I wish I could have stayed home when I first came down with it. I feel like it got worse because I had stuff to do and I couldn't just sleep all day.
Yeah. One of my coworkers, he's stubborn and he didn't do what he was supposed to do and stay home, and he kept coming in, and now he has pneumonia.
Oh, rough.
So
what a crappy time of year to be sick. I remember one year, I feel like I was in university, and I feel like I killed myself on exams, or portfolios, I guess, for me, because it was my art school. So I want to say it was third year, and we had a crappy apartment. It was a basement apartment. I had to walk to and from school for like 20, 30 minutes, which was like minus 20 weather. It was just a gross year. My roommate Megan and I really did not enjoy our third year at Mount A. And I got sick. Like, I had the stomach flu. I had the flu when I came home for Christmas. And I was no longer like sick to my stomach for Christmas dinner. But like up until the 23rd, I was like gross. And so you just don't feel like eating. You know what I mean?
No, no. I had it like 2 Christmases ago, maybe 3 Christmases ago. I got the flu.
Mm.
And we still had to go everywhere for Christmas Day. And I basically wore a mask thing to cover my mouth, like a scarf. And didn't shake anybody's hand, didn't hug anybody. Was like, stay away.
Mm.
I'll sit on the other side of the room. You can wave to me. I'm good. And if you want, I'll go sit in the car. I'm good.
Yeah, I have got no problem turning people away if they go to shake my hand and I'm sick.
Yes.
I will just look at them in the face, say, I'll put my hands behind my back and give them a nod and say, excuse me for not shaking your hand. I'm really not feeling well and I don't want to spread anything around. I got super sick 6 or 8 years ago after like a Boxing Day dinner.
Yep.
Somebody's dad was too old school not to shake hands.
Yep.
And he was like, he had something horrible. I can't remember what the hell it was called. It was something that was going around. Not SARS, but it was like, it was really, really rough. I ended up having a fever and I had to get, I think my dad came over to help me out because he had to bring Gatorade because I was throwing up and had a fever for like 14 hours or something. Like I just,
oh yeah.
Yeah. It was, I felt dehydrated and a little scared. Like it was really not pleasant because I was home alone.
Oh, I know exactly what you had. And I got the same thing around the same time.
Yeah. There was definitely something going around, right?
I get sick maybe once, maybe twice a year. I get a cold, but like actually sick like once or twice a year where it's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, this is number 2 for me. And I made it all year this year until like October. And then I got the flu.
Yeah.
And that lasted me about 3 days. And then this hit me a couple of days ago. And I was like, well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
I made it till winter.
Yeah. For me, I get sick far less, especially because I spend most of my time working from home. Yeah. I don't have to deal with the general public a lot of the time. And it's only been recently since I started a part-time job that I've managed to get sick, like within weeks of starting, which makes sense. And honestly, like I would usually pick up something because I mean, I take public transit and you're always, I mean, there's hand, you have to hold the rails and all that kind of stuff. But the thing that I find is that I don't get sick often enough to know how to handle it. So mm-hmm. It's like the last time I was sick was 2 or 3 years ago. And I forget how much I hate it. I forget how powerless I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be one of these people. This was before I was a busy entrepreneur. I used to be one of these people that just really, really didn't like taking medication if I didn't have to. You know, like I would sleep and rest and do all the right things. Maybe even get like a walk or a workout or in kind of like sweat it out sometimes when I was in university. But I really didn't like taking a lot of cold medication.
Yeah.
Now, different story. Now it's just kind of like, fix it. Fix it right now. I don't care.
I used to be the same way. And my father goes, it will change as you get older. I was the same way. And yep. I went, no, no. And then this time around, I was like, where's the Robitussin? I need the Robitussin.
Yeah. What was I taking? Tylenol, cold, and flu, I think is what I was taking. Because I had like a sinus and chest cold. And I just needed something to stop me from coughing. Because I couldn't deal with it anymore. The worst thing about stuff like that with a cough is keeping you up. Like you're not able to get the rest that you need.
Yep.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is rough. Although I feel like I'd rather have like a little bit of a cold that lasts a week than be sick. Like I do not like having a fever. It really kind of bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Not that anybody likes it, but you know, I know friends that will prefer to be sick for 2 days than have a cold for a week. You know, I'm the other way.
Yeah, I'm the other way too. I can deal with a cold. I can blow my nose every half an hour to an hour and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't make me sick. Don't make me queasy and I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I guess we can move on from the holiday sickness
yes.
to hopefully the richness of the holidays. I've got plans this year, as I always do, to make my family Christmas pudding. It's something I learned from my dad. He's been making it for as long as I can remember. I'm pretty sure it was something that his aunt would make because he was raised by an aunt and uncle. And it's a traditional, despite the fact that we're Irish, it's a traditional English pudding, I think. So it's mostly raisins, spices, and some other stuff. It's all boiled for 4 hours. There's lots of brandy involved. especially in the sauce. It makes my apartment smell amazing. I'm hoping to do that tomorrow while I'm working on some commissions. I found, especially since my friends have started having kids, that we just kind of focus on the kids as far as any gifts that we might do.
Yeah.
And so that you don't have to buy anything for, you know, like I buy presents for my immediate family. So like my sister and my dad, my sister and I usually go in on something for dad's girlfriend together. And of course, my mother and stepfather, we do Christmas in October with them before they go to Florida. So like that's done. So it really kind of keeps it simple for me, but I still like to do stuff for my friends. And I used to draw a Christmas card, which I don't do anymore because I just don't have time. And I feel like it's just more time in front of the drawing board. And I tend to be so busy professionally this time of year that I need to kind of get away.
Yes.
So dad started going away for Christmas because, his girlfriend has got grandkids. So then they've started kind of like alternating, you know, here one year away, the other, which means when he's not here, I had no Christmas pudding. So I was like, well, screw that noise. I'm going to learn how to make it myself. this is heavy, heavy stuff. It is not at all good for you, which means it tastes amazing.
Is anything you eat at Christmas good for you?
Probably
I don't
not.
Think so.
I don't know. Carrots are good for you. Turkey is good for you. But yeah, no desserts. None of the fancy things are ever good for you. So this is something that I would not want to have the whole thing in my apartment. Like I don't need that much. So what I do is I keep a chunk for me, and then I distribute it to friends because it's great. It's the size of a bowling ball, I guess, maybe a little bit smaller. You mix all the wet and dry ingredients together and you wrap it up. It kind of has the consistency of really wet clay.
Gotcha.
And then, because it's like raisins and flour and beef suet, their secret ingredient is out. And so then you wrap it all up in cheesecloth and boil it.
Yeah.
And when you're boiling it, most of the fat kind of comes through the cheesecloth and rises up to the top. But the rest of it all kind of turns into a solid once it cools down. Which is, it's like a squished, it's like a mini basketball, but squished. Then I can just cut it into slices and stuff and give it out to people. So yeah, I'm excited to do that. It's always nice. The people that I have been giving it to over the last few years really look forward to it. So it's kind of a nice tradition that I've been keeping up. Do you guys do anything like that? Do you bake any cookies or?
Well, my wife has her grandmother's sugar cookie recipe, which is the hardest thing baking thing I've ever had to do in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
The dough is so thick that we have a KitchenAid mixer.
Okay.
And even the KitchenAid mixer kind of struggles with the dough. And I'm like, this is the thickest. This isn't cookie dough. I don't know what this is, but it's not cookie dough.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so thick that by the time we're done, you wonder if it's going to actually become a cookie. And then when you bake it, it like puffs right up.
Okay.
And it's really soft, and it's the most buttery sugar cookie you've ever had in your entire life. And we make it every year, and that's pretty much, we give that out as Christmas presents to a bunch of family members.
Right on. Yeah, my sister has a KitchenAid mixer as well, and it has saved her bacon a number of times. I know that it makes it a lot easier because she does, I feel like she does like a cookie exchange with her friends. Then she also has some traditional stuff that our mother has made for the longest time, and now Andrea has kind of taken that up because mom's away. They're brown sugar cookies. I don't know.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't actually know what they're called. They're just called Christmas cookies. Like as far as whenever you say Christmas cookies to like our family, that we know what you mean.
Yeah.
So it's two sugar brown sugar cookies, sandwiched with icing, and then there's icing on top, and then a little piece of maraschino cherry. I'm sure I've tweeted pictures of these in the last couple of years, Facebook as well, because I brag when I get to have them, because it only happens once a year, I really enjoy them. My sister likes to make them, and I know that they're a pain in the butt. So any kind of like special, especially older recipes that are like for sugar cookies, brown sugar cookies, shortbreads, like I've always found that kind of stuff tricky. I want to learn how to make icebox cookies because they're my favorite as far as like store-bought Christmas cookies.
Mm-hmm.
We have a really good chain here in Atlantic Canada called the Superstore, and they have a good bakery. And every once in a while, they'll have their icebox cookies on sale because not many people like them. Yet the Superstore seems to make just reams and reams.
Too many of them.
Because they must be easy to make. Like they must be something that they can do quite easily, or it's like leftover flour from other fancy things that they're doing, like pies and stuff. So they just need a few ingredients to put this stuff together, or possibly like all the cherries that are on the shelves that have to get used. Anyway, they're amazing. Like they are probably my favorite cookie, and they go on sale for something like $2 for a dozen. Like it's sick. Like it is a homemade Christmas cookie as close as you can get it in a supermarket, and they're cheaper than Oreos. Like you know, so I walk home with 2 dozen of these things. I'm like, I don't need 2 dozen of these, but I can't not.
No, that's the big thing is everybody makes something in my wife's family. And we end up with a bunch of extras and leftovers. And it's like, as soon as the New Year's over, it's back on the diet. It's back on trying to lose weight. Well, we've strayed too far this year. And it's the same thing every year.
Yeah, I was joking. I've actually lost a little bit of weight, and I have to go buy new jeans because the ones that I have are no longer fitting me properly.
For
I think,
shame.
Well, yeah, I know. What a horrible thing to complain about. I just don't like shopping.
But
I'm happy that like my running and stuff, like I need to be in better shape, and it's a good thing. But I was joking with a friend the other day that maybe if I just kind of hold off and do very well over Christmas, I won't have to shop for new jeans for a little while. while. If I put back on a pound or two, I should be good until the new year. But yeah, I definitely am I'm a food driven human by nature. But when it comes to the holidays, I love the food. You finish lunch and you kind of sit there wondering, what's for dinner?
Mm-hmm. I wasn't like that till I met Erica, my wife. She is such a good cook that it's always like, oh, what are we going to do? When are we going to make this?
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be the kind of person that was like, oh, it's dinner time. Okay. I'll throw a piece of chicken on the fry pan and maybe bake a potato. I'm done. That's it. And I'd just go back to what I was doing.
Yeah.
And then she'd make something and I'd be like, oh my God, this is so good. I guess I slowly put on weight.
Yeah. I really enjoy it when like a partner or like a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife is a really good cook. Or if you've got friends that are good cooks that invite you over, like my friend Laura is a very good, she makes all these really cool like dips and when she ever has, she has a party, it's always like really cool, like meatballs and like crackers and fancy cheeses and stuff like that. And she always puts on really, really nice spreads. And then actually Peyton, who used to be on the Citadel Cafe here with me, he's really good at, he likes making meals like roast beef or stuffed chicken or stuff like that. And he does turducken a lot of the time, because he's got a big family that gets together at Christmas time, and it's the easiest way to feed everybody with, you know, one bird as opposed to having to cook two turkeys or whatever.
If you
debone everything and then you've got this great big turducken. And, I mean, I've had his turducken, I've had his lemon chicken, I've had anytime he's doing any kind of roast. You know, him and Leo were just like, hey, Joel, what are you doing Friday night? You want to come over for a roast? And I mean, he doesn't even finish the sentence. I'm just like, yep, I will be there. I will bring the wine and maybe some chocolate for after, but I will absolutely be there.
My Christmas plans this year are a little different. Usually we go to my mother-in-law's for Christmas Day.
Okay.
And we do everybody else Christmas Eve. But my mother-in-law moved and she's about an hour in the opposite direction of everybody else.
Hmm.
And so we're going to do her house for dinner Christmas Eve and do everything there. What I'm waiting to find out is my mother-in-law is half German.
Mm-hmm.
And she makes rouladen for Christmas dinner. So I'm not sure if we're getting that on Christmas Eve or not. It's like a hammered out steak with mustard and pickles and a gravy that's rolled up in like and bacon, and it's rolled up in like a roll and tied up.
Nice.
And it's like, there's like maybe 30 or 40 of them in the pot that she makes. And we always end up taking home extra, and it's so good.
Yeah.
I love German food.
Yeah. I haven't had much for outside of like maritime Christmas stuff. I mean, last year I was away for Christmas, but it was very similar to the kind of like meat, potatoes, turkey stuffing,
yep.
you know, that everybody has around here. So I haven't had any kind of like non-traditional. I remember one year I had moose meat pie Christmas Eve. That was really good. Because like when it stews in the pie, it makes it really tender.
Ooh.
And what else have I had? Well, the thing now with Dad in town, we go down to see if I can remember this connection. It is my father's girlfriend's sister's boyfriend's place. down it's right on the water, so it's very pretty yeah. down there. And they do a nice job decorating it and stuff like that. And so we're going to be going down there Christmas Eve, and it's going to be lobster dinner, which is going to be awesome.
Ooh, you're getting spoiled.
Yeah, and then we're back again the next day for turkey. Christmas Eve, I think it will probably be like just a smaller gathering. But then Christmas Day, Earl, which is the guy that owns the house with Murr, and they'll have like their family and stuff over. So like right. Earl's got a couple kids, and I think they're both married. I don't think he's got grandkids, but I think they're away in Ontario. So I mean, like there'll be a gaggle there on Christmas Day, and there'll be like a turkey and potatoes, like the usual fare. But yeah, like I said, it's just, I mean, so far we've been talking for what, 30 minutes, and it's just all been about food.
Yes, it has.
do you have any favorite like Christmas candies?
I don't. I'm not a big sweets person. Cookies are about my extent, so
yeah.
I don't have any favorite candies.
I prefer sweet, like baked goods than like to candies. I like a good candy cane. I'm not going to eat 10 of them. Like I want one really good one, and not the fancy ones that taste like things that are not candy canes. I just want
you want peppermint.
Peppermint.
That's it.
Just a normal candy cane, the ones that I knew when I was 10. That's what I want. And chicken bones. Something I picked up from my dad. I like them. I get them for him every Christmas. I don't know if Dad listens to this show, but it's not exactly a spoiler. He's never surprised when he opens a bag of chicken bones on Christmas morning. So yeah, I'll have to go hunt for those. I feel like Dad sent me an email with a video from like the Ganong factory where they make chicken bones.
Really?
Yeah. So they're like a hard toffee candy. Are you familiar with chicken bones?
I am not. I've heard of them, but I don't know what they are.
I am 99% sure that Ganong is a Canadian company. I could be wrong on that, but that would explain why you don't know what they are.
It could also be, the reason I probably have heard of them is I am in Maine, so we are right along the Canadian border. So I'm sure I've probably heard of them. I've probably even seen them, just didn't know what they were called.
Yeah, you may even have chicken bone contraband on your side of the border.
Probably.
Yeah. Anyway, I've always thought, like, I never really put much thought into how they make those kind of candies. I just like, well, whatever, you know, they're little toffee candies. They rolled them up and they pitched them on the ends and sure. Anyway, so they showed this video of the Ganong like chicken bone process. And I mean, it is a huge heated slab, where they roll and knead this big, like it is, I'm not sure how many pounds, it has to be 20 pounds of toffee that's being kneaded around on this hot yep. pallet. They add the food coloring to it, and they mix it all together. And then they add like, I can't remember, there's like a clear coat so that it's shiny. And there's all these different processes that they mix together. So it has like that striped look.
Yeah.
And then they fold in some unsweetened dark chocolate mixture into the middle of this big blob. I'm like, this is insane. Like, essentially they're making one chicken bone that's like the Moby Dick of chicken bones. And they don't mix it after that. Like, they just fold it in together. And they make sure it's kind of even on both sides, and they're kind of rolling it around. It looks like a giant pink alien slug. Like it's the most unappealing thing I've seen in a long time. And then it gets pulled down to the width of a pencil.
Yep.
And then they're pulling that through the machine, and then the machine does like the snipping, and that's where yep. you get the pinched ends. I had no idea that would be how they make chicken bones.
Stuff that goes on in those factories are fascinating. I had a job once where I worked in a factory that did bottled water. And
okay.
And I was like, it's bottled water. What can they do? And when I saw all the machinery they used to make bottled water, I was like, this is crazy. This is overkill. But it's amazing. I mean, because most factories that do that, they make the bottles right there in the factory as they're pumping it into the machine. Like, the bottle gets made like 5 seconds before it goes into the machine.
Hmm. Yeah, I've watched, I feel like I've watched one of those How It's Made videos, but it wasn't food related. It was like product related.
Yep.
I feel like it was, I don't remember what it was. It was something really simple, like a CD.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. It was metal. Whatever it was metal. Because I know there was a lot of aluminum bending. So I've seen some videos on how they make computers that way, which is, they're really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've got like the water saw and like just it's a highly, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a highly accurate process.
It is, and it's come a long way. My grandmother worked in a factory basically from the time she was about 25 until she retired, and she was a welder, and she welded sheet metal and stuff in a factory for like components that people made for like cassette tapes and records and things like that, and she just made all the bits and bobs with a welder. And then she watched some videos a few years ago of like the factory, and she was like, where was all this stuff 30 years ago? And I was like, yeah, but it would have put you out of a job.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, there's some, I don't know. I like the idea of some of the efficiencies of factories and the things that we can achieve now, but then more people have to then become the designers.
Yes.
You know, there's still a place for carpenters and plumbers. Actually around here, we're seeing a larger influx of young people getting into trades as the baby boomers are getting older.
It's happening here too. I know that a lot of trade laborers are looking for people on a regular basis, and not just mechanics. Like, we've seen an influx of things like plumbers and electricians and stuff like that.
Yeah, my stepdad's a carpenter. I mean, he does mostly painting now. He's almost retired. He just kind of does it for friends and makes some money on the side. It's one of those hard things where, like, it's a good profession when you're under 40.
Yeah.
But once you get past that, you've got to have that goal of like owning your own company and then hiring young guys while you supervise, you know, and your 20 years of experience is then going to be handed off as your legacy of service is passed on to younger guys. Cause I don't know if I'd want to be doing that kind of hard work. Cause I used to help Barry in the summer times. I used to work with him, and right. I mean, even as a young guy, like I was in university, I was 20, and it's hard work.
My dad has owned several businesses. He ran a garbage company for a while, and then he sold that. And so he went into doing lawns and stuff. And he's now in his late 50s, and he's like, "Yep, this is the last time I do something like this. This was not a good idea. I am getting too old for this."
Yep. Yeah, one thing that I am not too old for, though, is holiday wish lists. I get asked every year by my folks, like, hey, we haven't really hung out with you lately. What is it that you want for Christmas? And joining us to talk about his favorite things on his holiday wish list is Matt Britton. Welcome back, man.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Skype.
Well, what do you want for Christmas, Joel?
For me, it's always art related. It's always art and comics. The way that I see it is that I have to spend money on so much useful stuff during the year. I like to get fun things over the holidays. So I don't want new clothes. I don't want, you know, practical gifts. I always want like, hey, here's a comic book that I would just never buy myself. Or, you know, here's a fancy art book from like Pixar or Disney or something like that. And let's see what else was I thinking of. If money was no issue, especially with all of the cool Star Wars news that we're having lately, I would love to have like an epic set of Star Wars Lego.
Oh, Star Wars Lego.
Yeah.
Lego is a big trip.
It's so fun. And it's been a really long time since I've played with Lego. And I say that, I've got a huge box in my closet that I've just not touched in years. And if I really wanted to mess around with Lego, I could totally do it without spending any extra money. but the Star Destroyer, the Executor.
Yes.
It's crazy. It's like $500. But I would love to have, like, both for the fun of it and also just like I like making puzzles. I like that kind of like forget what you're doing for the day and just kind of sit down for an hour before you go to bed and just kind of like play with stuff. You know, I find it very cathartic. And the idea of putting together a Super Star Destroyer out of Lego that I could then put on like my coffee table or somewhere on display in my apartment would be amazing.
My brother-in-law has an Imperial Star Destroyer set that he put together, and it sat on his bookcase in his bedroom for the last 15 years. So I'm like, I want, but I know I'd never put it together.
I will absolutely put it together. The thing for me is that over the course of the year, I just can't justify spending $500.
No.
Plus tax. I mean, that's there's another 15% on top of the $500 here in Nova Scotia. I mean, like, I just don't have like $650.
No.
You know, to spend on Lego. They're so cool, and even the smaller sets, like an X-wing, is like $150. Like, that's not feasible.
No.
I don't know. I remember when I was a kid, you used to be able to save up and buy your own toys. Like, you know, you get like an allowance for doing your chores or whatever, mowing the lawn, and then you can go buy a G.I. Joe or a Ninja Turtle for like $7 or $8 or $12 or Transformers. Transformers were always more expensive. They were like, you know, $18 or something like that.
Yeah.
But I could afford them. I could never afford Lego.
No.
You know,
always. And it's amazing. They're just little bits of plastic.
Yeah.
Why are they so expensive?
Oh, it's the trademark, right?
Yeah.
They're very good at what they do. I can't really slam them for that. And I guess they have to fund it somehow. But let's see if we can get Matt in here one more time. Matt, are you there?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, sir. Can
you hear
Fantastic.
You?
Skype. All right. Skype issues. Yeah. Hey, look, it wouldn't be the last episode of 2014 if we didn't have Skype issues.
That's the truth.
Right?
That is the truth.
How you been, man?
Oh, pretty good.
Good.
Work in retail, so the holiday season is always mm-hmm. a beast.
Very busy.
But yeah.
Busy times.
I feel your pain. I feel your pain.
So now,
many years of retail.
Do you get, like here in Nova Scotia, nothing is opened on the 26th. Like Boxing Day sales are actually Boxing Week sales. They don't start until the 27th. Do you have the same thing down there, Matt, or do you guys open on the 26th?
Oh, no, yeah, we're open on the 26th.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you get like one evening and one day, and then that's it.
Yeah, we close early on Wednesday, and then Thursday mm-hmm. we'll be closed, and then Friday we're right back at it.
Wow.
Yep.
Crazy. So what's on your holiday wish list this year, Matt?
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you, I've been playing a lot of Magic the Gathering, so I mean, I've definitely got that on my wish list. Pretty much anything Magic the Gathering related. I've been getting back into that a lot.
Right on. Is there a new set out?
Yes and no. I mean, it came out a couple months ago.
Okay.
In January, there's another set that comes out. So it's the holidays is really in between sets. So that kind of, you would think they'd want to hit more on a holiday, but apparently when you sell that volume, it doesn't matter when you sell it, I guess.
They do I play, so I know. They do those holiday special sets.
Yes.
Where it's like a box with a fancy box with like four packs and a bunch of extras in it.
Yeah, I've got a handful of those sitting around here.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, other than that, like things that people actually buy me, I think, man, I heard you guys were talking about the Legos.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Mega Bloks collection. I got one of those. And those are really cool. And I mean, they're priced a lot better than Legos are, I think. And that you get this, I mean, they're basically the exact same thing, and they were pretty cool to sit and put together.
So I might be drawing the wrong conclusion, but I always remember specifically wanting Lego when I was a kid and reminding everybody that I didn't want Mega Bloks.
Yes, definitely.
I'm not alone, and like, it was no. like, Lego, like, it was like the poor man's Lego, right? It's not the stuff that you wanted.
It kind of used to be. They've kind of changed a little bit.
Oh, they flipped it around, have they?
Yeah, yes. They've picked up some good properties. Like, they're working with Blizzard and they're releasing WoW sets. They've got Halo sets and a few other big name properties they've picked up, and they've gone from being sort of the poor man's Lego to being a legitimate, you know, they put out some legitimate collections that are, I think, just as good a quality pretty much as your Lego.
And Lego doesn't seem to have, and anybody out there can correct me if I'm wrong, any video game for specific franchises. I mean, like, sure, like, there's Lego Harry Potter and Harry Potter has got video games and Star Wars is the same thing, but like, they're not exclusively video games. Like, Halo is just nothing else but a video game. I guess there's a movie in the works, but that is more known as a video game franchise. So for Mega Bloks to have that and World of Warcraft, that seems like a kind of something they would have that that Lego doesn't.
Yeah,
I don't think there are any video games that are with Lego at all. So I think you're right on that.
I think they do a lot of, they've kind of taken properties and made them their own even. Because, like, they don't really do, like, they have that that fan collection that they do where everybody votes on them and then they make one of those. I know this year's is the, they did Big Bang Theory. But for the most part, I think a lot of their stuff, their collection stuff is still kind of, other than Star Wars and maybe one or two other ones, they kind of take a property and make it their Lego something. Like, they've got that whole Lego Batman or Lego, but it's not a Batman set. It's kind of like a Lego Batman set, and they kind of base it around their games or their movies they've got. And I think that's kind of the way they've done it, is they've become big enough that they can say, oh yeah, we just release our stuff and we don't have to rely on others anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious now. I'll have to look up the Warcraft Mega Bloks. I heard about them, but it's just my childhood bias just kind of came back, and I was like, Mega Bloks, I don't care. You know, I was like, I'll just look at the Star Wars Lego and drool over that.
I actually got a Halo figurine from a Mega Block set in a loot crate like maybe a month or two ago, and they have more articulation than a Lego guy.
Oh yeah, definitely.
They have like 8-point articulation. It's not just feet and hands.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like these ones I've got, there's the main body and then the hips kind of click into it, and then where the knee would be, you have another separation that's another piece, and the shoulder is a piece, and the arm is a piece, and the hand is a piece. So like each, you've got just a lot of articulation in it. That's really cool, and you can put them in some different scenario looking things. That's really cool.
Huh. So it's more like assembling your own action figure, because with Lego, it's like you can make cool stuff, but it always just looks like blocks in the end. Yes. I mean, I remember having some very cool space Lego when I was a kid, and I know that there's some cool space stuff now, but I feel like there's other stuff too. Like, I know that Lego bridges that gap. There's like Ninjaga and Chima. I want to say Chima. There's a cartoon on Netflix that I've not yet checked out. That is all about these different races. Like, there's lion people and I want to say cat people or wolf people, and bird people, and they all have different like vehicles. And when you make the toy, it actually, it's not just like a lot of stuff that you make with Lego. It just kind of sits there and looks nice. But with this stuff actually like transforms, or it functions, or it shoots things, and has like the same kind of thing that an action figure's vehicle would have, you know, if you bought it off the shelf at Walmart. Then the Chima Lego seems to have some really cool stuff too. But I don't know. I haven't had time to really dive through the Lego catalog this year. But I wonder if Ryan, have you looked into any of the Lego this year?
No. Although Lego is rad, I will say that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Murphy.
Hello.
Hey.
Yes. you know what's crappy about Lego? It's too damn expensive.
Agreed. We were just covering that. Yeah.
I can go and buy one of those Lego video games for like $20.
Yeah.
And the experience, all the sets that I can buy for about $1,000.
Yeah, and the video games do what you can't do with the sets, which is make them move.
Or talk.
Yeah, shoot stuff. I remember really enjoying the Star Wars Lego series. That was really cool. I feel like you can get like all 6 of those games now for like $20.
Yeah, they go on sale. Like, they just drop like like flies, you know. Like the Steam sale is going to be probably starting tomorrow, and you can bet that those Lego games will be like $5 a pop, if not less.
Yeah, I know that there's some cheap Lego sets out there, but they're really tiny. Like they're just a couple. They're like twice the size of a Lego minifig. Like they're just like click click click, and you're done. Good for stocking stuffers and stuff like that, but I don't know. I'm wondering. I don't have any friends with kids that are really the right age for Lego. Like everybody's still kind of under 5, and so you got to stick with the really small sets.
Yeah.
I think it would be fun to kind of, you know, finding a really cool set and then like living vicariously through someone's 8-year-old as we hang out and play Lego. And it, I mean, because then, like, you know, you're not buying it for you, you're buying it for them, and you get to spend time with them and hang out with their cool new toy, and then you have to leave it with them when you go home.
That's the fantastic part of having a 3-year-old is I can once again be 3 years old and it's perfectly acceptable.
Nice. Your kid is 3 already?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah,
he's getting big.
Matt, when did that happen?
I don't know. Like it felt like overnight. It really did.
You know, speaking of kids growing, I was over to Peyton's 2 weeks ago, playing, Settlers of Catan, and, Ewan wasn't there, his son, but they mark on the kitchen wall, every month how much he's grown. He grew something like a half an inch or 3/4 of an inch in a month.
Yeah. They like, it's crazy. 1 minute he'll be standing there next to you and you're like, man, you're really getting tall. And you'll notice that he's like almost as tall as, he can almost reach up on the counter. And the next thing you know, you're like, wow, you're as tall as the counter. Where did that go? Like, I can no longer put things on the counter as punishment. I have to literally take them away and hide them.
It's terrible. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Ewan is not yet 5. And his head, according to the line on the wall, is about my rib cage. And I'm 6 feet tall. Like, this kid is... He's just a monster. I mean, we make the same joke every time I talk about him, but he's such a big kid. I feel like there's going to be that great picture of, like, Ewan's going to be cut off at, like, the necktie level, and Peyton and Lee are going to be in the picture at his high school graduation. And it's just, like, his head is just not going to be in the shot. You know, and Peyton's a big guy, too. He's my height, at least. So Lou, what's, I know you said that you actually received Christmas gifts already. So like, I don't know, spoilers, like what are you willing to share?
Yes, I am. My wife and I, we have a tradition. Neither one of us can keep a secret very well. So when the packages come in for Christmas and we know they're for each other, we just kind of give them to each other because we have to drive all over the place for Christmas to visit all kinds of family members. So it's easier for us to just get it over with. And this year she was like, well, what do you want for Christmas? And I went, well, if it's in the budget, I would really like a Wii U. And then about a week ago, she goes, so at the store, and I think we have the money. I'm going to get you a Wii U. And I was like, oh, boy. And so I came she came home, and I had a Wii U.
That's awesome.
So. Nice.
Yeah, I was probably just as excited as you were, Lou. It's like, finally, somebody to play with.
Exactly.
It's like, you guys are the only two people I know that actually have one.
Well, I mean, it's funny to poke fun at Nintendo. I probably know more people who own a Wii U than I know own, like, PS4s and Xboxes, but most people just have stuck with the PC, so... But no, the Wii U is a fantastic console and a solid purchase this holiday season.
And the sad part, the part that made me mad is that's what I wanted for Christmas. I have a friend who has one, and every time we go to his house, that's what we end up doing, is there ends up being like 6 of us piled in front of the TV playing it. And I was like, no, I want one of these for myself. And the day I got it, like 3 articles went up about how the Wii U sucks. And I went, no, it doesn't. I don't want anything else. This is what I want. I can get everything else on my computer. I want to play Mario, and I want to play Mario Kart. I can't play that anywhere else. This is what I want.
So is like, what's the big draw for the Wii U right now? Is it Mario Kart?
Mario Kart and Smash Brothers just came out maybe, what, a month ago?
So are you hoping for those in the stockings, Lou, or did you get some games?
I have Mario Kart.
Nice.
But the new year will bring Smash Brothers for me.
Yeah, I feel like the last time I played Mario Kart, it was on a Nintendo 64.
The Wii U one is probably the best it's been in a long time.
Nice.
So
yeah, the Wii U version is fantastic. There's DLC that they just put out in November, which is awesome. Lou, if you're looking for more content, which is a steal too.
I already have it.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's like $12 for 16 new courses, six new characters, and 8 new carts spread across November and March.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can mix and mash your characters and your carts. That's cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's like 12 different carts and how many characters now with the DLC?
I think they've got, there's a wide range of characters. I mean, they went pretty crazy. They got like all the Koopa kids. So like all the Koopa kids from like Super Mario World. So you're seeing like 12 different versions of them. And I think there's got to be over 30 characters you can pick from.
Wow.
And my new favorite is with the DLC, you get Link from Legend of Zelda.
Yeah. Yeah. You get to race as Link and he's got a motorcycle and it's fantastic.
He's got a motorcycle. Nice.
As he should.
Yeah. The only thing I remember hearing about the Mario Kart was I think Ryan, you might have brought it up. Is it like a death stare from Luigi or something?
Yes.
Yeah, the Luigi death stare, which Link has his own. Link is pretty deadly too, and
takes
people out, and he's got an interesting stare as well. But no, like I think it was just by accident because all the characters react when they like hit somebody with a shell and then pass them, and they've all got that stare down. But Luigi's is just so cold and heartless.
That was the best part. Is I got the Wii U hooked up. And my wife sat down and played with me, and I was like, I'm playing as Luigi. You're going to get the Luigi death stare. And she's like, what is this Luigi death stare? I've never heard of this. And I was like, just wait. And then afterwards, you do the replay, and it replays the race with, like, clips. And I hit her with a shell and drove by as Luigi, and she got the death stare. And she was like, that's the scariest thing ever. And I'm like, yes, it is.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I can see the Wii U being, especially with Mario Kart, being something that would be cool for like families to have, you know, around the holidays. You get, you know, all the kids and the parents in front of the TV. And do they still do like a split screen, or can you do, how many people can play at the same time?
Four people on console, and if you play online, it's like 8.
Nice, that's cool.
Yeah, and the online's solid. I was playing through the DLC with Eric Mahler last weekend, and you create a lobby, you both join up, and you pick a race, you vote on what races you're going to be, and you just go to town. And it's like, if you got Skype running, we had Skype sort of running in the background on our phones, and we were just live chatting and playing Mario Kart and shooting the shit. It was fantastic.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something I really enjoy about having smartphones is that, like, if you don't want to tax the system, or if the system doesn't have a built-in chat, you can just kind of go around. You know, with FaceTime or Skype or I think Facebook has got chat now too, like a audio chat.
I think everybody does these days.
Yeah,
yeah. I think it's universal now.
Yeah, I can't speak to the quality of it, but you know, Matt, what's on your wish list this year?
I don't know. To be honest, I don't do... Christmas is not a big thing for us as far as, like, gift-giving. It's always been, like, a family thing. So we just get together and do family stuff. So, I mean, most of the things that I'm looking to get this Christmas are, like, we're really hoping to pick up Cards Against Humanity.
Nice.
Because we enjoy that game a lot. So we're wanting to pick it up and have our own so we can play it when we get together with friends and family and whatnot. Especially having a kid that's Levi's age is really... it's really brought us more into getting gifts for him.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that have been on my wish list are things I can do with him. So little games here or there that he can play or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, because I don't know, we've always been like, whenever we want something, we just get it. So Christmas is kind of more of a family time. But yeah, the board games and card games like Cards Against Humanity are really what we're looking for this year. So.
Nice. Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be a material. Like, what are you looking forward to the most about like your family plans over the holidays?
Being off for I get like 2 days off during the holidays this year, so I'm like, you know, spending time and just hanging out with my family. My brother moved a little ways away from us, so I don't see him as much as I used to, and he's going to be around, so we get to hang out with him some, and you know, just family time is always great when you don't have a lot of time for that normally. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice to have the entire day to just, like, you know, you get to wake up when you wake up, and then you just kind of go with the flow. Like, you've got, you know, it's nice when you've only got like one or two places to go, you know, one ideally, you know, and you just kind of go, you hang out, everybody kind of just spends time together. And then like you don't have to worry about anything. I think that's the biggest thing about the holidays that I like as far as spending time with family is that like I don't have a schedule. I don't have to leave at any time. You know, like Andrew, I think my sister and I are going to go see one of her friends Christmas Eve. So we'll go down, you know, to Cow Bay for dinner. And then it's not like we have a set time. Like at some point, Andrea and I will just kind of look at each other like, hey, you want to mosey? Yeah, let's mosey. Like it's not a scheduled thing like the rest of our lives. And that's something I really enjoy about the holidays. Ryan, did we talk about what you might have on your wish list? I can't remember when we brought you in.
No, my wish list is kind of boring though. I mean, having just been married this year, we kind of, it's like, all right, let's maybe not go too crazy. Like, luckily, like I think we set a budget of about $50. So it's like, I gave Ashley a list and it leaked. I've never had this experience. Like I kind of feel for Sony now. So I'm sitting here working on my podcast or something. No, seriously, this is a story.
That's fantastic.
And I'm sitting here recording a podcast and I get a text message. What I had done prior to recording was I wrote down on a piece of paper, like, I'm going to write down a bunch of stuff. Most of it is like, you won't even be able to get it all. It's just, this is so I'm surprised. And I put down a bunch of stuff. Yeah. Like I asked for, speaking of the Wii U, a couple of Amiibos that were coming out in December. I know I'm a child. But hey, you know what? I'm young at heart and I don't care. And those things are fantastic.
We both are, sir. We both are. And you know, I'm older than you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, I say I'm a child, but I really don't believe that. I think the Amiibos are both, they function in a way that I'm happy with, but they also look good enough that I can retire them to my shelf with no problems. They look really cool. Some of them look really cool. Some of them are freaky and questionable. But anyways, there's like an Xbox One controller and a couple other things. I'm sitting here recording. I had a text message from Ashley's little sister who's making fun of me for stuff on my Christmas list. I'm like, that Christmas list was for Ashley. she had gone to her parents and left it on the table or told her mother about it. And so like, I kind of feel for Sony now, like my Christmas list, like leaked, like people saw it that I didn't want them to see.
At least people are looking at your list. Every year, my father-in-law sends me a message and goes, what does Erica want for Christmas? And then I usually send him a link to her Amazon wish list. And I'm like, anything on there would be awesome. And then he doesn't get anything off the Amazon wish list. And I'm like, well, don't ask me if you're not going to help.
Well, it's a good way to surprise them, right? Like, and that's why I put like a bunch of stuff on the list. But when you put more stuff on the list, it's like, okay, like I'll take these two. And, you know, my mother-in-law is asking, like, what does Ryan want? I have some extra things that I need to get. And it's like, It felt like a catered list, right? And of course I'm kidding around and I played it up as a big joke, but I thought it was funny and it sort of caught me off guard.
next year when you write it down on a piece of paper, you'll have to put like a little password box.
Yeah.
For Ashley.
Or rather than putting an Xbox One controller, put an Xbox One and try to trick people.
There you go.
That's the real thing.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. So you're gonna have to fill me in. What is it? A Wii Amiibo?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. For those who don't know, the Amiibos are little figurines that come with NFC technology to allow them to be scanned and sort of recognized by certain Wii U games. So, Mario Kart, keeping it with what Wii U game Lou owns. If you scan in one of 8 Amiibos, you'll unlock that character's costume for your Mii. So you can race like in a Mario suit with like a Mario helmet, like as if you were themed after Mario at a NASCAR race. It's little stuff like that. Like you could see them charging like 99 cents for your favorite character's costume. But rather what you're doing is you're buying this $13 figurine of Mario and using it to unlock content in different games.
Yeah, and with Smash Brothers, it unlocks, you get like an AI character that will fight with you that is the same character in-game. And as you play with them more, they get better AI and they level up. They get more experience and a bunch of nifty things like that.
Yeah,
cool. So it sounds to me very similar to Disney Infinity.
Yes, it's pretty much the same idea, but same idea, but Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any access to it. I'd really like to just try Disney Infinity. Like, if I ever run into some friends over the holidays that have kids that have it, like, I'd like to even just to sit down and watch them play. Like, it sounds like such a cool thing, and I really like how. They're not kind of cubish, but they've got very elegant, simple designs to what are essentially some very complicated characters in some spaces. Earlier this year, we had Adrian Ropp on Comics Coast to Coast, and he is one of the story artists, and he worked on the Avengers playset for Disney Infinity. And I mean, he got to do all these cool things with like Hulk and I think Spider-Man is in there too. I'm not really sure, but all the like Captain America and all the folks that you'd expect. But such a cool opportunity to draw like these super cartoony, simplified versions of all your favorite characters. And I mean, like, you can go on an adventure with Hulk, Jack Sparrow, Elsa from Frozen, and Stitch. Like, you know, like, why not?
They're definitely doing something interesting there. I just worry that I've been tempted to like look into it myself, but I'm like, I feel like it's pointed at way younger people than me.
It's pointed at young people. Apparently it's like a sandbox, and that's something that's really cool. But the issue that I have with it is that you could cut the costs for parents and have a lot more kids involved in this very creative gameplay if you didn't have to buy the physical figurines. And like, just to get into Disney Infinity, I feel like it's the better part of $100 for the game and the you know, two or three figurines and all this kind of stuff. Like, well, if you were selling all that kind of stuff digitally, then it would be a lot more affordable.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big difference that you're seeing with Amiibo as opposed to like Skylanders and Infinity, is that with Skylanders and Infinity, you are unlocking bits and pieces of content in a full game. That you're not getting unless you buy the figures. And there's an actual game devoted to those figures. But with the Amiibo, so far, it's really just a complimentary experience where you can play Smash Brothers without having an Amiibo. And like Lou said, it unlocks an extra feature, but it's essentially just like an AI character. And it's nifty, right? Because, you know, you might only have three or four friends to play with locally, but the game supports eight players at once. So what I can do, I actually did this, and it was a lot of fun. I had Ashley's little sister and her boyfriend over. We were playing three-player Smash, and I said, watch this. Let's all get on a team, and then we can face my three Amiibos. And, that's why I bought three, because, you know, why would I leave that one hanging? And they kicked our butts, you know? It's just AI. There's nothing. It's supposedly, when you face it, it learns from your moves and adopts those tactics against anybody. But I mean, it's hard to tell if that's actually happening. That could just be them saying it. But so far, it's little unlocks across multiple games. There's no Amiibo game, you know.
I feel like that's coming.
Oh, Nintendo's already proven, like they said, that the Amiibo figures are selling on par with Smash Brothers, which is actually an interesting figure because Smash Brothers has been selling very well, and Amiibos have been selling out all over, like the real popular ones. And I think at E3 we're gonna see that Amiibo game, and they're just gonna go all in. Like, they've proven that they can do it, and
yeah.
they're gonna go all in. And some people might see that as like, oh great, here comes the cash cow, like the same issues that we have with Infinity. And I mean, we'll see. Nintendo could certainly use a win at this point.
I hear a lot of snark.
A big win. Like, Nintendo's doing fine. People say, oh, it's dead in the water, but it's surviving. It could really use a big win to convince the people who have already past the point of being convinced that Nintendo is still fine.
Yeah. What's the big leader in the new consoles? Is it the PS4?
Yes.
The Xbox One is certainly catching up, but I feel like Sony actually gave Xbox or Microsoft sort of this holiday season, in the sense that, or gave them like time to catch up, because neither console has a solid release this holiday season.
What came out just before the season has been riddled with bugs and issues and.
Yeah, Smash Brothers runs fine. Hyrule Warriors runs fine. All the Wii U titles that have come out so far, bug-free and working day one. You look at Microsoft and it's like Halo is just a mess. And yeah, that was a game still... I was actually going to buy. So not yeah. anymore.
Assassin's Creed is getting a lot of bad press. Yep. Does Dragon Age have bugs?
It did. Yeah, the second patch certainly fixed a lot, especially for me. I was having a gender bug issue where certain conditions when you create your character would cause NPCs to think you're the opposite sex. So I got 30 hours into this RPG, which has relationships with other characters, and I'm being friend-zoned by one of the characters I was actually, you know, trying to develop a relationship with, and she's like, yeah, you know, you're also female, so I'm going to walk this way now. And I'm like, what? What's happening right now? Do you not notice the goatee? My stylish goatee?
Did I put on the wrong armor? What's going on?
It's fixed now. I didn't have to restart my game. I just had to wait for a patch. And Dragon Age actually is fairly solid compared to its other PC counterparts that have come out lately.
Cool. So I think we covered everything with Matt and Lou, but at the start of the show, Ryan, we were talking about like what we were doing for the holidays, like what our plans were and stuff like that. So what are you and Ashley going to be doing this Christmas?
Well, we usually stick around here. We are having our last year for Christmas Eve. We kind of took it over, like starting to carve out some time for ourselves. Like we're married now, and it's like prior to this, it was always like, well, okay, we got to go here, then we got to go here, and then we got to go to my parents. And then, like, suddenly it becomes their Christmas and not ours. So last year we carved out Christmas Eve to say, like, okay, Christmas Eve, we're doing our own thing at our place. We'll invite some of your siblings over. No parents. We're just going to have a good time and relax and not have to worry. You know, with Christmas, everybody's, like, it's kind of at a high stress level. And we just, you know, want to have some drinks, play some Cards Against Humanity, and just relax. Now this year we're doing that. We're kind of doing a combination. I lost that argument, but, the standard Christmas Eve sort of dinner with family, then we're going to come back and relax. Then I think Christmas morning we're going to our sister's, but pretty standard affair, nothing too crazy. You know, open gifts Christmas Day and, you know, Boxing Day shopping. They'll go Boxing Day shopping. I'll stay inside and refresh the Steam sales. with my hot chocolate.
Do you have like traditional meals that you do on Christmas? Like turkey? Is it just turkey dinner and kind of all those standard fixings?
Yeah, turkey dinner. I mean, we were just like Lou probably has listened to the most recent Sleeping with the Elephant, but Paul and
yes,
I
have. Sir.
Yeah, evidently I went off the cuff a little bit, but we had a conversation of turkey versus ham.
Oh.
And Paul's a ham guy. Like, he literally pre-orders a honey ham.
Wow, Paul's a ham anyway, but yeah, well, no, I know what you're saying.
But I am totally turkey. I was raised on a farm. Pigs are, like, their pigs are really disgusting, and bacon's great, though. Don't get me wrong. Bacon is fantastic. I will eat no matter how I've seen a pig be raised, I will eat bacon. But turkey's fantastic. It's my go-to, and we'll probably have it 3 or 4 times. But potluck is where it's at, you know, where you have multiple good cooks bringing dishes and desserts and putting them all on one table. And then, like, that's our Christmas Eve. We have a potluck and it's like, I get to have all the best desserts, dishes. Oh, pulled pork sandwiches. Oh man. So nice. Good.
Yeah. And you can take a good look at the green bean salad and say, nope.
You don't need it because, like, there's already, my plate's full. Like, I've got 16 meats on my plate. Like, there's no room for beans.
You just get to the end of the line and just feign despair. Like, oh, I completely forgot. There's no more room on my plate.
I do want to say something, though. This turkey on Christmas Day thing is new to me. I didn't know that people ate turkey on Christmas Day. For me, it's always been just a Thanksgiving thing.
Is it everywhere, like a cooked goose for you? Is that,
no,
like, you
everywhere,
open up your window and scream, a cook? Goose for everyone.
Everybody I know does something different on Christmas Day. Like, totally different. My mother-in-law makes rouladen. My dad makes Italian some years. And then some years he does lamb. Mm-hmm. And I have another aunt who does, like, baked chicken. And, like, nobody does the same thing. I've never been to any place on Christmas Day for dinner where it's just turkey again. It's always something different.
Interesting. Yeah, turkey's a big, maybe because we don't, like, here in Canada, we have Thanksgiving in October, so it's not like we're all turkeyed out. Although, like I said, I grew up on a farm, and it's like, what are we having for dinner? It's like, well, let's pull a turkey out of the freezer and do that. Okay. Usually it was chicken, though. So.
Yeah.
But no, turkey's kind of a go-to thing for Christmas. And I don't know, ham was sort of the thing you made for the person, like the person who just would not eat turkey. Like you just, arms and she's always, or he or she rather, I say she because I can think of one specific person in the family who would always want ham and then look at the turkey with disgust audibly, which made everybody a little on edge. But yeah. Ham's a great like secondary meat though.
Yeah, see, I guess it all depends on like how like what like your grandparents' traditions were. Like when I grew up, it was always turkey at Thanksgiving, turkey at Christmas, and ham was always an Easter thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure why. Point. I mean, I feel like I've heard the term like I've heard spring chicken before, but I've heard spring ham too.
Yes.
And so I'm guessing that's where it comes from. It's just that they wanted something different. I mean, maybe people are just tired of turkey by Easter. I don't know. Yeah, it's always been ham for Easter with like lemon meringue pie, where it's like turkey and apple pie at Christmas and I guess at Thanksgiving, it's turkey and pumpkin pie traditionally. Mm-hmm. My mom and I were the only people that liked pumpkin pie. So it was usually apple at Thanksgiving too.
That's horrible. There's never a bad time to have pumpkin pie.
See, I agree. I just ate a pie last week.
It should be a year-round thing. Yep. They need to figure out a way to just make pumpkins all the time.
There's always time and always room for pie. Exactly. I myself have two helpings at Christmas. It's a very good excuse to have... You cut the pieces just a little bit smaller so that you can have two.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially because
you won't need new pants this year.
No, I should be fine. I should be fine. You know what I haven't had in a long time though is mincemeat pie.
Yeah, I haven't had one of those in a long time. It's been a while. Most of my family won't eat it, so it doesn't usually show up at any of the holidays. It was a big thing. Like we had a neighbor who used to make it and bring it over, and I haven't had one in a long time. But.
Yeah, the Christmas pudding that I mentioned earlier, it has the same sort of density as mincemeat, so I guess that's probably why there's never a mincemeat pie around, is because the Duggan Christmas pudding tends to have the same sort of feel to it, fills the same void. Right on, well, we should probably mention our sponsor, that's Tweaked Audio, and the Citadel Cafe is, of course, proudly sponsored by tweakedaudio.com. You can visit that website and enter the code TCC at checkout for free shipping and 30% off your entire order. No guarantee that they're going to arrive before Christmas, but they'll certainly arrive at the right time for you. I really enjoy mine. I like running with them. Great for passive noise cancellation. You don't have to have your music as loud when you're out and about, which is nice. So tweakedaudio.com. Use the code TCC at checkout for free shipping and 30% off the entire order. I have an internet pick that I'm going to share quickly here. Something I caught on Twitter this morning, actually, from Mashable. And it's the 233 best viral videos of 2014 in 7 minutes flat. So you don't get to watch the whole video, but you get to see some pretty intense bits of these videos. And there's a lot of different things in there. There's some warm and fuzzies. There's some cute pet stuff. But the majority of the clips in this video are all humans doing really crazy things. Just skydiving through buildings, doing the first air-to-ground high five from a wingsuit, traveling, I don't know how fast. Just crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. So I'll have that link in the show notes. But if you Google the best 233 viral videos from 2014 on Mashable, I'm sure you will find it. It probably got a ton of hits today. Have you guys seen this?
I have not.
You really need to check it out. Yeah. I mean, I feel like somewhere there's going to be a list, probably on the YouTube page, of all the videos that they're citing so that you can actually go through and watch some of the ones that you might be curious about. But the skydiving ones, the BMX ones, and some of the like the parkour ones and stuff, they're just people do. I don't know how people don't hurt themselves more often. I mean, maybe they're just cutting these clips. Like the viral video that goes everywhere is the take where the guy didn't break his collarbone, you know, but man, they do some crazy stuff. Well, that brings us to the end of yet another holiday episode of the Citadel Cafe. We record live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on the citadelcafe.com/live. Our mobile audio stream is provided by alphageekradio.com. You can listen to the show live on Alpha Geek Radio. Even when you're away from your computer, just point the browser to mobile.alphageekradio.com and tune into channel 1 at showtime. Music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod, and of course, this episode will be available on iTunes and our website, thecitadelcafe.com. And that is where you can find the show notes and the link to that really cool Mashable video. Email the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com or find us by name on Twitter and Facebook. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything that I am up to online at joelduggan.com. And please do check out the Patreon page, patreon.com/joelduggan. That's where you can support my comic work as well as this podcast. And I just posted a new Starcross comic on Monday, so you can go check that out at starcrossonline.com. You can follow me on Twitter with just my name, Joel Duggan. And the Citadel Cafe is going to be off for a couple weeks. Our next episode is going to be the 7th of January in 2015. The guest will be Hammond Chamberlain. So he's going to be back on a regular basis, as will Lou. Speaking of Lou, where can people find you online, my friend?
You can find me at Busy Zombie Lord on Twitter. And I also do a show with the fabulous Ryan here called Zombies Ate My Podcast.
Nice. And Ryan, where can people find your work online?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at rmurphy and my website, ryanmurphy.ca, where I try to post things regularly and try to update whenever possible. But yeah, and Zombies Ate My Podcast, fantastic time where Lou and Bob made me watch awful films.
Yes. Also good films.
Yes.
Nice. Matt, do you have any podcasts on the go? I know that you were cooking some over the course of the year. Did anything ever get released?
No, I don't think anything ever got released. Joel and I kind of got distracted by a few different things, but hopefully we're looking at starting one again in the beginning of the year. So once schedules clear up for me at least, and he's got a little more time on his hands, we're going to try and hit and do something.
Right on. So if people wanted to send you a tweet, where would they find you?
I'm at the Matt Britton on Twitter and in random chat rooms across the internet.
Right on. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Citadel Cafe for 2014. We're fast, we're easy, and we're cheap, but you can only pick two.
With a hey and a he and a ho ho, with a he and a ho and a ha ha, with a ho and a ha and a he he, ho.
Happiest Christmas tree, oh ho ho, he he he. Someone came and they found me and took me home with them. Oh, I'm the happiest Christmas tree, ho ho ho, he he he. Look how pretty they dressed me, oh lucky lucky me. I got shiny bells that jingle and tiny little lights that tingle. Whenever anyone passes by, I blink my lights and I wink my eye. Oh, I'm the happiest Christmas tree. A Christmas day, wait and see, I'll be laughing happily with a ho 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 he he.
With a hey and a he and a ho ho, with a he and a ho and a ha ha, with a ho and a ha.
Someone came and they found me and took me home with them.
Oh, I'm the happiest Christmas tree.
Ho, 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 he, he, he. Look how pretty they dress me, oh lucky, lucky me. I got shiny bells that jingle and tiny little lights that tingle. Whenever anyone passes by, I blink my lights and I wink my eye. Oh, I'm the happiest Christmas tree. Christmas Day, wait and see, I'll be laughing happily with a ho, 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 he, he.
With a hey and a he and a ho, ho, with a he and a ho and a ha, ha, with a hey and a he and a ho, ho, with a he and a ho and a ha, ha, with a hey.
You better watch out, you better not cry. No, I'm telling you why.
I just came back from a lovely trip along the Milky Way. I stopped off at the North Pole to spend a holiday. I called on dear old Santa Claus to see what I could see. He took me to his workshop and told his plans to me. So you better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Daddy's watching.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
With little tin horns and little toy drums and Rudy Toot Toot and Rummy Tum Tum.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Look at that crazy red suit.
Curly head, claws, and cuddle and coo, and elephant guns and kitty cars too.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Ride, ride, red, ride. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Get rid of that frown, 'cause Santa Claus is coming to town. It's in the bag.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is Hawaii's way to say Merry Christmas to you. That Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night.
Melikilikimaka is a wise way
to say Merry Christmas to you. Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway.
Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright,
the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas.
A very Merry Christmas.
A very, very, merry, merry Christmas to you.